Father, I just pray that you would come here this morning, come in strong, Lord. Comfort us, Lord. You are a God of comfort, Lord, a God of grace, a God that comforts those who are broken, Lord. Come meet with us today. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Take away anything that might be said out of my own mouth, Lord. Pour out of me, Lord, this broken vessel, Lord, unworthy to share your word. But God, you are worthy, Lord. Feast on you. I want to put on your flesh and drink your blood, Lord. I pray that we all our hearts. So guide us and direct us, Lord. Help us not to run from what you would have us to do, Lord, to tap into that those wells, Lord, those springs. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus went on into the Mount of Olives, and dawn had he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard to go away one at a time, the older one first, until only Jesus was left with the woman, still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said, "then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go your now, leave your life of sin." So, when I'm reading this, I get to tap into Jesus the way he sees. This broken lady brought to him by the righteous, the self-righteous, these claim to be holy men out of appearance, and then bringing this, dragging this woman without the man. I'm going to throw that in there. You know, where's the man in this? You know, in the Old Testament, Leviticus and Deuteronomy 22, Leviticus 20, it talks about, you know, that they are to be stoned. That was the Old Testament. These people caught in adultery. The laws were strict, not only to preserve the holy line, to bring to Jesus and the line of Judah and David and a lot of the prophecies to be true. But that adultery is something that scars. And God doesn't lay these things on us, these laws, these commandments, these things to prevent us from having fun or pleasures. It's to give us life. And he knows these things are damaging and they're scarring and they put you literally to death in your mind and your heart. And now in these days, it's so rapid. I know in my life, and man, if I could go back, I would give limbs to have a pure heart, to have not have given my heart to so many people. Because that not only does that, it's scarring. It is. It hurts. And man, I would do anything to go back. I mean, God and Jesus, I believe he forgives me. He cleanses us. But our mind doesn't forget. Let's be real and honest. You know, those scars, those things come back and they haunt us. And they weigh us down. And they condemn us. And Satan will use that stuff to just call us unworthy, dismantles anything that God would have us to do. This woman's brought to him, and they did it to try him, to see if he would go against Moses' law and say, "Yeah, you're right, you know, let's stone her." And then go against his nature and his example to us. And who are we supposed to be? How are we supposed to respond to people, you know? And we're not called to, as a people, I believe, to condemn and to judge people in that way. We're all sinners, and I think that's the example that he's given us, that he's saying, let's examine. All right, whoever has not sinned, throw that first stone. And one by one, the oldest, probably with the longest list on their minds and their hearts of the things that they've committed in their lives, were pierced, and they walked away because they knew they weren't. And this lady, I could just picture the scene being dragged in. And there's two different ways I could see her being dragged in, kicking and screaming and just like, wow, you hypocrites, you know, knowing that they're just self-righteous in their own hearts. Or she's come in broke, humble, thrown in the midst and just humiliated in the very act. So who knows if she was even dressed or not. And we got this scene of this lady sitting there humiliated. And God is such a gentleman. He waits until one, everyone's leaving. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that exhortation not to sin no more is... It's a comfort of tapping into that peace, that joy, that original design that he calls us to. His commandments, to love, to not murder. These things aren't there to harm us, but it was designed, our makeup, to bring us peace, to joy. But we've broken that in every aspect. And even Peter, I think about the scripture in Peter, how he denied Christ three times. Anybody, if you guys know that story. And how God is such a gentleman, you know, he's such a gracious God. How the way he comes to our failures, you know, when we deny him. And he doesn't just come and say, Peter, you blew it. You know, you denied me three times. I'm done with you. You know, he comes with the antidote. He comes with, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He asked him those three times, because those were the three times I believe that he denied Christ. And it's not the don't focus on. If we sit here and say, don't focus on this, don't focus on that, those lustful thoughts, those past, those things, it's, we need something in place of that. We need the antidote. We need the right direction. If we sit here and say, don't do this, don't. We're so focused on it, we're going to do it. But it's the new direction that we're, how do we not do it? Well, take the focus off of that. Accept that we're cleansed, we're forgiven. God looks on us, whatever failures we've had. If we have committed adultery, if we slept with people before we were married, we're suffering enough. You know, though I rubbed the stone on the wound and scratched it all open, we're hurting enough. I know I have hurt enough for the things I've done. And God is so gracious to sinners, because his design was set up. And when we fail, we're so beat up. We're hurting already. And Jesus come not to rub salt on the wounds, but I could see Jesus saying, just go. Don't sin no more. As like a brokenness, you know, because he knows what we're doing is harming us. It's hurting us. We know we're not feeling great. We feel those consequences from sin damaging, searing our hearts. So he's so gracious and generous, and his eyes of compassion and love. He knows those laws of sin and the damaging effects that it has. And not to add to the hardship and pain, but he came, you know, not to to judge the world, but through him that the world will be saved. I just studying Jesus through the Word, it's amazing, you know, how he responds to different people on their different level. How he chases out the people making his house, the den of thieves, you know, robbing the people of God because of them trying to get right with him, cleansing their conscience from sin, and then taking money from them. He chases them out with whips, you know. He wasn't, but he sat with sinners. He was not concerned about what people thought about him, the way he sat at the well with the Samaritan woman. How he sat with sinners, not worried about people coming in saying, well, you know, what are you doing sitting with them? But he came and he sat with the sinners because he loves the sinners. He knows that they're in need of a physician. They're in need of a cleansing. And there's only one thing that can cleanse that conscience of the things that we've done to get rid of these guilts, these regrets, and that's the blood of Jesus. there's nothing too great that God can't forgive you for. Not that there isn't consequences, not that we won't. It's hard for us, I think, to forgive ourselves. And sometimes because of that, we doubt the forgiveness of God. That we doubt the power of His blood. That we went too far out. We've done too much. But God is saying, no, my blood is powerful enough.
Amen.
So maybe you're sitting there thinking, there's no return. God can't heal my mind. This is who I am. I'm never going to change. No, you don't have to sit there and hurt anymore.
Amen.
That is not God's design for us. He made a perfect design, and we have failed. But we don't have to continue in that. We don't have to continue hurting. We can find our purpose and tap in to that joy. That's all we are seeking for. I mean, we just all want to be happy. We want to be filled. We want to have joy. And we're looking at it in all the wrong places. You know, we say, no, God, I see your commandments and those laws, and that's not gonna what's going to make me happy. But this and that and whatever area of life we go to seek and to find satisfaction and pleasure and fulfillment, we're left dry and empty and hurting. And God is just saying, go back to the original plan. Go and sin no more. So let's just grab on to that blood. Let's take that. Let's plug in. Let's cast away the lies that we're unworthy. Because God calls us worthy. God calls us beloved. God calls us chosen. Not anything we have done, but everything He has done. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God and Him sending His Son and the blood that washes over us daily. His mercies that are new. That I could work out this practicing of righteousness, knowing that Christ has paid it all, past, present, and future sins. And that I could have peace and joy as long as I'm tapping in to His calling and accepting the forgiveness of sins and the price that He paid on the cross. So, I just want to share that. Hopefully that helped. I know it helped me. So I'm going to pray real quick and let Paul, I'm sure you've got something better. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are a gentleman, that you meet us at our own different levels, Lord. Lord, you respond with the laws and bringing in the self-righteous, Lord, with your laws and your commandments to show people that they aren't perfect, that we've all fallen short of your holy commandments. And then there's your holy cross, your blood, Lord, for those who have made a mess of your perfect way. So God, help us to tap into your calling, to tap into your voice. Help us to see with your eyes. Help us to love the way you loved. Help us to not talk and respond to people on the same level, but to be led by your Spirit, to come and graciously with love and when it's needful, and with your commandments for those who might think that they're fine, they're okay, that they don't need a Savior, that they don't need those laws and commandments, that they did it good enough. But God, you say if we've done one of them thing, Lord, we're guilty of all of them. So in here we all sit, Lord, completely a mess together, Father, but completely pure and holy, Lord, in your sight. So Father, help us not to be judgmental in looking at others and putting standards on each other and where they bringing them up to our level or looking down where they're at. but accepting, Lord, that you are this holy standard and you are the only one that did it perfectly. If there's anyone that can judge, it's you, Christ, and you having done that as our perfect example here on this earth. Lord, but our calling is to just point them to you and point them to God and point them to the cross. Lord, you are good enough to convict us. You are faithful enough to show us our wrongs, Lord. Lord, there's so much hurt and brokenness in this world, Lord, that we don't even need to rub salt in the wounds. Our heart's already hurting. We need the antidote, Lord. We need the cross. We need your blood. We need your cleansing power of our minds, Lord. The delusion of sin has overwhelmed us. Has taken over minds, Lord, and hearts. Lord, we need to go back to that state, that original place that you'd have us to be, walking holy, hearing from you. So God, do that in us. Help us to love your commands and your ways and to reap the benefits of peace everlasting, going into eternal life. Lord, we wait for you. We can be made into your image, to be completely conformed into your Son, no longer struggling with things of this world, Lord, our own flesh, Lord, attacking us, Lord, not wrestling with these principalities and these powers in this world, Lord. We don't wrestle with this flesh and blood, Lord, it's principalities, these powers, Lord, that are trying to bring us down, to take us into captivity, to just ruin your name. Father God, let's see for what it is and not just yield to it, but come at it with strength from your arm, Lord, that we would be able to overcome these things, Lord. When Satan gets in our minds or we stumble, Lord, in this world, let's just not be put on the shelf, but come back at it with some witnessing to people. Sharing your love, your grace, Lord. Let's overcome that with good. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Simeon shared about not being defeated there in your thoughts and thinking that it's hopeless for you. I want to expound on that particular as we finish 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Last week we just did half of a verse. That was verse 9 of chapter 3. There's two things being talked about there in that verse. We are laborers together. That's where the cultivated field, the rototilled, the ones that God has really worked on. And it's not a superficial work. It's a very deep work in the heart of man. If it was a superficial thing, he could have sent Confucius down to us and told us a few things, some parables or whatever, some wisdom, and we would have been okay. But mankind had a disease that was into the uttermost being. His heart was corrupt. He falls short of the glory of God. We have been made in his image, and that image has become distorted. We no longer represent God like we should. It's like one of those circus mirrors where your head is real big and, you know, there's a distortion that's happened. The image has been distorted. We no longer reflect God. Christ came to heal that. That woman that was caught in adultery received that healing from Christ. She was set free. We are the cultivated field. And the second part, which we're going to cover today and finish this chapter, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. The building part. Husbandry is the farm, the cultivated part. You are God's building. We've heard this a lot. How much do we really believe it, though? How much do you believe that Terry, that Christy, how much do you believe that Tina and Seth are living stones in the temple of God that he desires to build together? How much do you really believe that? Yeah, I got it up here. I've heard it. Is it down here? Do you see each other that way? That, yeah, James is a living stone. Simeon is a living stone. Chris is a living stone. A lively stone, as it says in Peter. A living stone. You are God's building. That building, that word, is the temple. the temple of God. He goes on to say, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed, watch out how he builds thereon. Our foundation here, as Simeon pointed out and laid out very well, is the blood of Christ. It's getting back to that. Getting back to that. The blood of Christ. That's the foundation. We never leave that foundation. We don't build new foundations. We build from that foundation. The foundation is always there. It's what we always rest on. So what we build, no matter what it is, food pantry, Christie's, going for, Petty Roger, I don't want open doors to reach and bless. Whatever God's called you to, all rest on that common foundation. And we are together built on that foundation. For other foundations can no man lay, then that is which is already laid, that is Jesus Christ, verse 11. Now if any man builds this foundation, on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So there's going to be a variety of things that you'll see in a church that we build off the foundation that God so loved, as James shared with that young fellow on the bus. Do you know his first name?
No, he didn't tell me.
All right. That young fellow, James, Lord, we just bless his socks off, Lord God. Bring that word powerfully to him. We do believe that your word won't return void. That foundation, though, that God sent his son. He so loved the world that he sent his son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but live eternally. That's the foundation that we build on. As we reach out, as we do things, we need to understand that all of us rest on that common foundation. Christy, your foundation for reaching out with food and clothing and reaching to the poor isn't resting on the foundation of the poor. It's not resting on the foundation of the ministry to the food and clothing. It's not like you have a foundation and James has a foundation and Josh has a foundation. We have a common foundation, and that's the blood of Jesus that drives what you're doing and will bring healing and power to the things you're doing. To the youth, it brings healing and power and strength and reality and eternity to what you're doing, Maddie and Mindy. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the things that all of us, because we're human beings, will find ourselves in a project that turns out to be mostly wood, hay, and stubble. It was built on a foundation, but we come to find out it's just not the will of God. It's not what God has called us to. The fruit ends up to be wood, hay, and stubble, and we need to have the humility and understanding that those things happen, and not to get all mad and like feel like God has let us down, but to let go of it and say, Lord, thank you for showing me that this wasn't something you want me to continue working in or doing, and just because it was last week doesn't mean I'm doing it this week, kind of thing. And I want to all the time acknowledge all my ways to God, acknowledge everything to God. Even the things that are routine that we've done in the past. God, do you want to continue reaching out and pour Byron? It's got to be from you. It's got to be from that foundation flowing upward. And when something becomes hay and stubble, we need to have that humility. I'm going to look like a failure. I'm going to look like a failure. You'd be totally detached, totally dead to those kind of things and your reputation. And allow God to keep moving. God's got to keep moving. And wow, you know, if the more dead you are, the more you're going to see and be yielding to the gold that is valuable in the kingdom of God. And unless you'll be caught up in just building these big haystacks, you know, of human effort and just insisting because this is, and really when it's your reputation that's on the line. Let go of your reputation. There's a good parking spot for it. It says parking for Pastor Paul Myers. It's called the Cross of Jesus Christ. That's my special parking spot. I've got a very special spot. I do feel important because of that. And we all do. We have a parking spot. It's called the cross. We need to hang our flesh there. That's the reputation, what people think about us and all that. Just park it right there, because it's going to just be wood, hay, and stubble. Anything that's built from that. So when we're able to yield to the cross in that way and get back to that foundation that Simeon was talking about so powerfully, that we're going to see precious things come out of that. Things that are fireproof. Notice the wood, hay, and stubble. Those are things that just are destroyed, or speak of destruction that come and go. The precious stones, the gold and silver, those are fireproof. 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 And it talks about that fire right here in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Each of us has an appointment. You get things on your cell phone, and calendars pop up. And it used to be a telephone in the house. I don't even know if anybody has one of those anymore. But the answering machine, it says you have an appointment. We all have an appointment coming up. Most of us don't get that reminder, like tomorrow you're going to face Jesus Christ. You know. But we need to live with that reality, that appointment's coming up. And that's when all of these things are going to be tested and tried with a fire that's just in his eyes. The purity of God. He dwells in a light that no man can approach. You think the sun is hot? It's an ice cube compared to God and his glory. It's nothing. It's a shadow of who he is. He created that with his words. All the suns, there's billions of them. Nothing. Compared to the glory of God. And just his eyes looking at us. Whew, it's going to burn up the hay and stubble. Man, if it's a 10-mile haystack, we're going to be a little bit upset about that. But rejoicing in the fact that, hey, the foundation was still there. We're still saved. Still safe, you know. The dust clears. It's safe. We need to be sure of our salvation. So our foundation is true and sure, but let's make sure what we're building on that is also solid. It's fireproof. It's fireproof. That means Jesus looks at it and it's awesome. There's nothing fleshy in it. There's nothing distorted in it. It's pure. It's from his blood. It's from his life. It's from him. Any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Praise God. And it all comes from the foundation, which is Jesus. He rewards us. Did you ever make a kid feel bad because you rewarded them? And it's like, hey, that was really my money that I earned and that I gave you that little prize for doing a good job. No. Come on. This is the heart of God, that we would just bless and he would reward us for something that really was of his resources. It was something that he earned, as Simeon pointed out. It was done by him. If any man's work shall be burned, praise God, here's grace. For all the haystacks I've built, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Safe. Whole. Sozo in the Greek. Healed. Good. Not lacking. Complete. Suffer loss. You suffer loss of the reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. All that chaff is not going to go in heaven anymore. Anything that has a fleshly haystack, and like, can imagine getting up to heaven and it's like, hey, Paul's here, let's do that haystack again of the flesh. And everybody's like, ah, no, because that's just going to go. Don't worry about us, man. That person's going to heaven. If it's, you know, if it's an issue of the flesh, don't worry about it. What's precious, what's pure is going to last, and the other stuff's just going to burn up. So don't get upset you're going to be with this person or that person in heaven and they irritate you. Because all that irritation is going to go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Asher is quite a prayer warrior. he's right in the groove now. He's praying last night at the tent, laying hands on people. Gretchen, I just asked her to touch my head this morning to massage it a little bit. And he come right over. She was praying over me, so that's what it looked like. So he started praying. He's still 1 3/4, so you'll notice that, you know, although he has the spiritual maturity, there's still the... His little sister's coming, and or brother, we don't know yet. They like the surprise thing. Coming in December. Amen. All right.
I tricked Mindy into calling the baby.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be willing to be interrupted like that, and even what Asher just did right now, to just have that humility at all times, like, what's God doing right now?
Yeah.
Be willing. And that's what happened with a woman in adultery. A lot of times Jesus would be teaching, and then all of a sudden, bang, it came in. It's like, you know, ushers, get that out of here, you know. And, you know, she might have ripped clothes like you were indicating or whatever, torn up, beat up, and all that stuff. And Jesus is like, this is the will of God. This is really what's at. We don't even know what he was teaching. That was the teaching. Be ready in season and out to yield to the Spirit of God. I think the tent kind of helps us with that, because it's a lot more unstructured and to really be watching what's happening. And a lot of times I'm surprised. Like, I might be feeling a little bit numb or something like that, or tired or something, so I'll kind of fog out for a while. Then somebody's getting bombed over here. They're getting bombed in the Spirit. They're just like, God is just like, boom. He's doing it. Praise God.
Yeah.
Then I hear it. I was like, I wasn't even connected to that. That's cool. Praise God. Amen. Doug last night, he's a guy that he sits there and he looks like he just has the appearance that he might be repressed or something. But he got so touched yesterday. So touched. He said, you tell those people at church tomorrow. He said, what's going on over there? It's real. It's real. You tell them. He told me that 5 times. So I'm telling you right now. It's real. I got touched.
Amen.
Something happened to me.
Wow.
These are people that, you talk about a cultivated field. This isn't a 6-inch rototiller like your standard rototiller. These people, it's all the way down to the clay and the hard pan and the bedrock and below that and the water table. I mean, these people have been really, really moved by the things of life. And now they have opportunity to be yielded to God, and it's a beautiful thing. This is what we've been called to. This is the deep things. To really minister and set people free, Isaiah 61. To bind up the brokenhearted. I know what that means a little bit more now than I did last year, and a little bit more than the year before that. I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. It's gold. It's fireproof. It's awesome stuff. Let's build. Let's build. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm not going to finish this chapter. God wants me to stop right there, I believe. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. We lift up the situations that were mentioned earlier, Lord, and we know and trust, Lord God, that you're working and moving. You'll be with Christy this week, Lord Jesus. You'll be with Chris and Simeon and Dwight as they go. Extend your love and extend your light out to a family out here in our community, our area. We praise and thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be with James, Lord God, as he looks for this young fellow, Lord God, that he shared with and he's able to follow up with. And we pray for James as he continues to do and stand up, Lord God, for you. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for the lights that were brought to the tent, Lord God. We thank and praise you for the testimony that Roger gave this morning, Lord God. I just want to just scream to his embarrassment, possibly, because of how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is, Lord God. How beautiful it is, Lord Jesus Christ. You are beautiful, God. In your time, God, all things. All things. All things are going to be made beautiful. In your time, God. In your time. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You rejoice over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm
sitting there thinking there's no return. God can't kill my mind. This is who I am. I'm never going to change. No, you don't have to sit there and hurt anymore. That is not God's design for us. No, my blood is powerful enough.